Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. Today in the booth, we have our senior pastor, Tom Shirk. It's a wonderful episode where we tackle 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about spiritual milk and eating a mature plate of good food as believers. It's a wonderful conversation, but before we get there, do me a favor and always go to calvarybible.com, click your campus, find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. Stay connected, get connected at calvarybible.com. As well, a major, major request is always to click and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, as well as share this episode with your friends who you think it might be fitting for them to hear this conversation. Thanks so much, and let's get to the show. Tom, it's good to sit down with you.
Good to be with you, Jay.
Yeah.
Love being here.
How's your Wednesday going so far?
So far, so good. So far, so good. I was at the Elders till 10 o'clock last night. So started early again today, but it was good. It's a good day.
Good. How are the Elders doing?
Oh, they're doing great. Yeah. Had a great time of prayer. Praying for families at Calvary and just trying to focus on how can we help build strong families. Yeah. A great meeting together.
That's really cool. That's really cool. All right. Lightning round. President's Cup or the Broncos game this Sunday?
Oh, my gosh. President's Cup.
Okay. would you rather be
10-9.
Fishing? Yeah, yeah, totally. Would you rather be on this Wednesday fishing or golfing?
Golfing.
Would you rather be eating at a great cheeseburger or eating Vietnamese food today?
Vietnamese food.
Good. Would you rather be at the beach or in the mountains today?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe at the beach.
Yeah.
It's warm.
You're not a skier, are you, anymore? Have you put up your skis?
I ski when about once a year.
Okay.
About once a year.
I didn't know that.
Cool. Yeah. I tore my ACL, and I recovered and skied a couple of years, and I just realized I don't want to get hurt again.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, I have had so many sports I've been a part of over the years, and I've narrowed it down to about two.
Yeah. Golf and fishing?
That's it.
Yeah.
More sedentary, more thoughtful, reflective.
Yeah. One's in the Olympics and one is not.
Well, yet.
Yet. Fishing in the Olympics. It's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't know this about anything about your high school days. What sport did you compete in high school?
Basketball and soccer.
You run point guard in basketball?
I did.
I figured you're pretty quick, agile.
Yep.
Cool. And yep. Soccer, huh?
Soccer. So I started as a striker, which was up on the front. And then as I got to my best shape and skill, I was a midfielder.
Wow.
And then when I got older, I got moved back to be a fullback. So I played everything but goalie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't know about you. Yeah. Fun. You don't follow basketball.
I played for Moody Bible Institute.
For soccer?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And Philadelphia College of the Bible. I played collegiate soccer.
Oh, neat.
For little Bible colleges.
Yeah.
That was great. It was a great part of my season.
That's cool. That's very cool. So do you follow soccer anymore? Or you just...
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
It was just a thing then.
Yeah, and I coached my children as they played growing up. So, and I played a little adult league around here, but eventually I got too slow.
Yeah. Neat.
Yeah.
Neat, neat. I didn't know that about you. That's really cool. All right, so we're in this Undivided series, 1 Corinthians. Thanks for setting down with us in this season of 1 Corinthians. You know, with the Undivided series, what has been sort of exciting or new in your world as you've studied this book and preparing for this series?
Yeah. Well, trying to follow Paul's argument as it's developed, right, and the themes repeat. But I see, you know, I've seen as I've been studying over the last couple months, the argument of the contrast between two kinds of wisdom, two kinds of people, the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, it's just been very exciting. And essentially, the first six chapters are Paul giving them instructions from a report that he heard that there's all kinds of problems there which there were. And then the second half is answering their questions. But
that's interesting.
It's a good, you know, it's been a great time to get back into it.
That's cool. So, you know, as I picked up your sermon this week, you talked about last week in chapter 2 of the world's wisdom, God's wisdom, and then the spiritual man and the natural.
Yeah.
And I thought those were really good distinctions, especially in light of chapter 3.
Yeah.
As we get into this argument that Paul is really trying to correct some major issues within Corinth, in the Corinth church.
Yep.
I was thinking about sort of 1 Corinthians, and sometimes when you get so far into Paul, you forget that he's trying to point you to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Because you're like, he's an apostle. You want to hear what he has to say, like the man Paul himself. And then you realize that he's actually pointing to something greater than himself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense in Paul?
It does,
sometimes?
But it's in this context that Paul makes the most clear statement that I didn't come to you with superiority of wisdom or knowledge or eloquence of words. You know, I came to preach Christ crucified. That's all I want to know. It's about Christ. So he actually does pretty consistently in fact, in this passage last week, he said the one who waters and the one who plants, they're nothing but Christ, God who gives the increase. Yeah. So, he really does point to Christ throughout.
Yeah. It's sort of interesting because we got 4 books of the Gospels of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then we have 13 epistles of Paul, right? And so it feels like sometimes you can miss out that he's really talking about Jesus sometimes because you're just reading the text. I don't know if that applies to you, but it applies to me.
Okay. Sometimes. I'll take your word for it.
This is interesting.
I think he's totally pointing us to Jesus, and you know, he's generally pretty self-effacing. And in this context, because there was such a competitiveness around who's going to be my favorite teacher.
Right.
Which, you know, in every era, you and I were talking before we started here today, you know, about some of the people we listen to and admire and think about. And, you know, it's a weird celebrity culture around church in the United States and around the world of people who say, oh, that guy's great. And, you know, I loved this past week that Paul just said, neither Apollos or Paul are anything.
Yeah.
But it's Christ and it's God.
Yeah. You make a really good point that in this day and age, information age, YouTube, podcasts, internet, you can listen to anyone at any time.
Yep.
And so there's some really great biblical teachers out there.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Sure.
But there's a lot of bad biblical teachers out there.
Yeah.
And false teachers. So how do you go about looking, deciding on someone to follow or listen to in your own life? How does a person at Calvary who says, I want to become, you know, this text was about milk to solid food. Mm-hmm. How do we go about that and discern wisely who we listen to?
That's a good question. In discerning who you listen to, you know, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. So you look at the fruit of their ministry, their life, their teaching. I think that is a way to verify the authenticity of someone. Now, everyone fails.
Yep.
You know, everyone falls short. But I think one clue is this a celebrity? Is this a person who's a self-promoter? And there are a lot of those who want to promote their ministry. You know, if I ever start a ministry after Calvary called Tom Shirk Ministries, you know, just put me down. Okay. That's just a silly little thing. That should,
right.
I think should never happen. But you judge people that are models for us by their life and ministry, the fruit of their life, and you seek guidance around them. You know, you listen to them and read them well. And the best way to be discerning about that is frankly, to be a student of the Word of God yourself.
Right.
And the more you know, the more you grow, the more you're nourishing yourself, not on milk, but solid food, you know, you develop a discernment around who you're listening to. Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
That's that Hebrews 5:12 passage. Those who by constant diet of hearty biblical truth have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So there's a lot of undiscerning, lack of discernment out there.
Yeah. For let's read 5:12 through 14. Yeah. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. That's a really indictment.
That is an indictment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really important. So, you know, who have been, I sort of like the litmus test just as I've gotten older through ministry and seeing how it works with celebrity preachers and teachers. I sort of like people to be dead before I start listening to them. So we know the whole council, what their issue was, right?
Yeah, but I hope you listen to Thomas.
Yeah, I listen to Thomas. And I think that's another point of you need to be in a local church.
Yeah, totally.
And listening to a local church.
Yeah.
Because, yes, God's word is universal in a lot of ways in which it can be applied. But God has set the institute of the local church to be the bride of Christ for your community, in your community. Mm-hmm. And we ought to be people who gather locally under eldership, leadership,
sure,
to open up the Word of God,
yep,
and discern what it says for us in our time.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And the one thing I would add to that is you don't have to have a great speaker,
right,
to grow spiritually. You can have really a really solid communicator, mm-hmm, who's filled with the Spirit. And, you know, we're average communicators, but if we prepare with a sense of humility around the Word of God and say, this is what God says, and you come to church with an attitude of, Holy Spirit, teach me what you want me to know, you'll grow spiritually by being in a church that honors the Bible, even though the speakers like us aren't that hot.
Right.
You know, because the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches.
Right.
That's the whole point of this argument that Paul's been developing. There's a spirit of the wisdom of this age, which is the wisdom, you know, human wisdom. But you have received the Spirit, which is from God, that you might know the things that are freely given to you by God. So the Holy Spirit lives in the life of a believer when the word is proclaimed. The Spirit teaches things that the teacher often has no clue about. I can't tell you how many times I've been preaching a sermon and someone will come up after a message and say, oh, Pastor Tom, when you talked about such and such, it just really made such an impact in my life. Thank you very much. I say, you're welcome. And they go away. And I think, I don't think I said that.
You know, right.
What did they hear? Well, that's the ministry of the Spirit a lot of times coming in a surprising way to people.
And years ago, I asked you on our way out the door in the parking lot was, why did you use those cross-reference scriptures in that context? And you're like, they just came to me at that time. Mm. And I just used them within that preach. And I was like, oh, that's usually indicator that the Holy Spirit is doing something within us to make sure that the audience, those who are listening to the Word of God, who are humble enough to do that, eager enough, get fed for the week, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So how, you know, in the weekly, we talk about really practical ways and things past the sermon. Mm-hmm. So how can we dig into the Word of God? How would you do it? How are you doing it?
Yep.
And how would you encourage us at Calvary to dig into the Word of God, to move from spiritual milk,
yeah,
to a really good full course dinner?
Okay, let me paint the big picture, which is, I think, super important. You know, if you're listening, the milk, one way to think about the milk, and I don't have this completely dialed in, but one way to think about the milk is when your baby, you're not really, you know, you're not contributing anything. You're totally dependent on the elementary nourishment of a mother's milk. And I liken it to this. When you become a Christian, you say, oh, Jesus, I love you. I know I'm so special to you. You died for me and you forgave me. And I'm sort of the center of things right now because you just saved my life. And thank you. God is great. And man, I'm so special to God. Thank you for forgiving me. And it's a lot of me.
Right.
And then as you grow, you begin to take on the what would you say, the meat of the word, those greater truths that aren't just about me, but they teach me about the surpassing greatness of Jesus, my Savior, how really depraved I was, and now I'm forgiven, and now I'm actually called justified, an adopted son of God, a joint heir with Christ. My status has changed. As you grow and mature, you say, what does that mean? And you grasp that. You grow in these greater ideas that God is altogether sovereign, nothing escapes his notice, and he's always working, even when the me-centeredness of me is disappointed with the events of my life. But I have been grounded in the meat so that I know that when I suffer, God's in it, and I have a bigger vision of God. And I can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, a baby doesn't say that. If I die, or an immature person says, if I die and I lose my life, that's horrible. But a mature Christian says, if I die and lose my life, I'm about to enter into a world that is unlike and so far beyond anything I've the best days of my life here on earth.
Right.
So that is that wisdom from above. I look at the world differently. And that comes by nourishing yourself on the truths of God, the meat.
So how do we do that? Do you suggest books we read, Bible studies? How do we do that Sunday mornings? You know, what are some of those tools in which someone says, I want that?
Yeah.
How do we get that?
Okay, well, first of all, I would say I'm actually working on a little idea in my mind for 2025 for our congregation just to lead us in. Jesus said, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Right. So if I were going to say to someone, especially a new believer or someone who's not been a Christian a long time, how do you want to grow to be a mature Christian? Take heed to the words of Jesus. So the beginning place to grow is to read the Gospels right. over and over and over again and watch the words of Jesus and answer the question, what does he tell us to do? And then try to do those. Right. So any place that Jesus says a command to us, you should try to do it. So I'm actually thinking in my mind, because one of the things that helped me grow spiritually, I read the Proverbs. For a couple of years together with my brother, one a day, and we worked together painting houses, and we would memorize the scripture, and then we go paint houses. And this Proverbs shaped my life in the wisdom of God. And then reading the Gospels shape your mind and thoughts about who is Jesus, what does he ask us to do. So if I were to say to anybody listening here, the best way is through the Bible. And then find a good theology book. You can ask your pastor what's a good book of theology to read. And, you know, those are deeper truths, and they do invigorate your mind if you're, you know, wired that way. Not everybody's wired to read a theology book.
Right.
But if you read the words of Jesus and practice what he said, you'll grow.
I think those are really good insights for us, memorizing God's word. You talked about how that was instrumental in your life.
It was.
And yeah, hiding God's word in your heart slowly. Mm-hmm. It takes time. You can't speed up your adolescence years. Neither can you speed up like maturing in Christ. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
There's no microwave Christianity.
Nope.
And so I think it's really important for people to understand, like, this is a, as Eugene said, a long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah.
Amen. And over of decades of being in the Word of God, being around the people of God, being mentored by the people of God, mm-hmm. and memorizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes time.
It does.
And enjoy it, right? Enjoy. You should delight and opening the Word of God with the people of God on Sunday morning.
Yeah, I can hear people say, yeah, but you don't know how hard my life is. But again, if you're up at that godly wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, right. The wisdom of the world says get out of trouble, get out of pressure as soon as you can. And God says sometimes he uses pressure to keep us under the water a little bit,
yep,
to build up our reserves and our stamina. A lot of people don't have a grind muscle. And the Christian life can be a grind sometimes. You just have to grind it out in faithfulness, and this is a hard time, and I'm suffering. But that's the way you grow. It's the way you work out, and you bring pain to your body while you're working out, and you get stronger.
I can also hear my dad saying a proverb a day keeps the doctor away.
Okay.
Read, I mean, there's 31 of them.
Yeah.
In the month.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Read one a day.
Yep.
Underline one thing out of it and do it over and over again. You'll learn
a lot
of wisdom. You'll gain a lot of wisdom.
I agree with that. Worked for me.
Okay, so what are some of your favorite books or theological books that have really grown you in Christ? I think of the easiest one for our church is Evangelical Convictions.
Sure.
That's an easy introduction to what we believe.
Yep.
It's a great read, a delightful read. I think so.
It's a good read.
Yeah,
no, it is. Yeah, that's a great one. I will tell you what shaped my life was J.I. Packer's Knowing God.
Oh,
I was 20-something, and I opened that book, and, it was world-changing for me to think about how big God is and how free he is from the influences of anything,
right?
And how kind and gracious and holy he is, knowing God. That was a great read that shaped me.
Yeah, it shaped me as well.
Did it?
That was, Knowing God was one of those foundational books.
Yeah.
A.W. Tozer.
Mm-hmm. Knowledge of the Holy.
Knowledge of the Holy. Yeah, Attributes of God. Those are two great books. That, yep,
they are.
Yeah. Desiring God by Piper was foundational in a lot of ways.
Yep, very good.
Yeah. A Case for Faith, Case for Christ.
Like, yeah, those, all those things.
Just like really good, over time proven resources.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to be proven, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And if you want to grow, like, there are little primers on theology. Grudem's got one, and they're just helpful. Then they actually put them on the shelf and say, what does the Bible say about whatever, sanctification?
Right.
And it's an easy turn.
Yeah. R.C. Sproul does those as well.
Yep.
Some of that. And
yep,
you can get them on Kindle for free sometimes in the year.
Okay.
Which is wonderful. So, yeah, that's a really good. So, what are ways you've seen Calvary grow up in Christ? So, you've been here 36 years now? 35 years?
It's like 36, but it's 32.
32. Okay. I've expedited you a little bit. What are ways you've seen Calvary grow up in Christ? How have we matured over 30 years? Plus years.
Okay, so Calvary, before I got here, was a church committed to studying the Bible.
Yeah.
And my predecessor was a very good Bible teacher and kept the church really in tune with walking through the scriptures expositionally. So I would say when I think about Calvary, generally speaking, it is a spiritually grounded, spiritually mature congregation. The bigger we get, the more people come. We don't know how grounded everybody is, and you know, we want people who aren't grounded to come in and find Christ and get grounded. But it's grown in its commitment to the scriptures. I love that that is part. So if you go to Bible study here in a life group, you go to a men's group, you go to a women's group, you go to high school ministry, you go to kids ministry here, I love that one of the things we're really grounded on is we're going to teach the scriptures, help people walk in the spirit, and that's a constant area of growth. I just note that because it's very easy for a church to fall off being grounded in the Bible and get after the latest trend, fad, whatever, but Calvary has continued to grow in that way. The other thing Calvary's grown, I've seen over the years, is there was a time We've talked about it a number of times, but there was a season when we thought, maybe we were too focused on our projects and our programs,
right,
and weren't really seeing what was going on in the world around us, especially in our very local communities. And we all got convicted that we've got to get our church outside the four walls of the church and start serving community. And I think today you'd look at Calvary, and we really are in a lot of circles of trusted partner in Boulder with some social service organizations. We're a trusted partner in Erie with circles of people who are helping the city, right, and growing now after 3.5 years in Thornton, too. And that's an area of growth. And if there's one more, I would say when you look at the trajectory of the ministry of Calvary, it takes a lot of resources to be a church that's in Boulder, expensive city, and then move to Erie and buy land and build a building and have a really significant ministry there, and then be in Thornton and have a staff and a building there. It takes money.
Yep.
Where does that come from? I think Calvary has grown in generosity as a congregation to be a people who give generously. I love that happens.
Yeah.
So really there's a couple areas.
Those are good. I think that's really good for us to hear, especially a perspective from you on how we've grown up in some ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I look forward to the future of this. It's like you don't mature and arrive at a destination.
Yeah.
You continue to deepen those roots, those yep. commitments to God, to his word, to yep. his people.
Yep.
And I can't wait for the future of that.
Yeah. And I think, I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, what he does every year before he plans his preaching schedule. And he said, I asked myself a couple questions. How does our church need to grow? And he'll sit down with his elders and say, what are you seeing in our church that we need to grow in? And that shapes the preaching calendar. And, Calvary needs to grow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there are areas that we need to grow up in, and we will.
Yeah.
We'll keep growing.
That's really cool. All right. So you talked about actually at the end of your preach about how to care for the servants of God a little bit. This happens to be October is Pastor Appreciation Month.
Yes.
I know that many people do not know that.
Educate
pastors.
Them.
Yeah.
Educate them, Jay. It's another Hallmark moment.
Yes, it is.
I don't know who created it.
Yeah. I remember back long ago when I preached in Kansas at a church of about 30, Pastor Appreciation Month was really fun because usually I got more meals to take home to my friends who were sharing a house with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's Pastor Appreciation Month. How can we care for those that lead us? You talked about three in your preach: prayer, deep care, and pay. So it's Pastor Appreciation Month. Calvary needs to be thinking about those who serve us, who lead us, who humbly lead us. How can we care for them?
The text that came to my mind was 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, I referred a little bit to that, but it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Yeah. Be at peace among yourselves. So it's not the pastor or the leader. It's the work that's being done that should be the motivation. We need the church. We need the church to be healthy. And so it's not the personality of the pastor. It's the importance of the work,
right,
of leading a church. And it's interesting that he says, respect those, esteem them highly because of the work, and live at peace with each other. So one of the greatest pastor appreciation gifts a congregation can give to their pastors to be at peace with each other.
Yes.
Because nothing eats my lunch more than conflict in the church.
Right.
And, it hurts the work. But in a practical way, of course, the congregation is encouraged to pray, pray over protection for your pastors, pray for encouragement, pray for spiritual insight, yes, pray for stamina, pray for their marriages, pray for their families. You know, everybody who is at the tip of the spear in the spiritual battle of leading a church in the pagan world in which we live needs the covering of prayer of the congregation and the encouragement. Like, most pastors get easily flippant comments and sometimes right, critical comments.
Right.
And I can take them now for the most part, but, you know, sometimes they sting and sometimes they're real and sometimes they're true. You know, right, I got to pay attention to what am I hearing? But there are some pugnacious people who, you know, just like to pick a fight and like to cause trouble. And, you know, they're everywhere, always been there.
Right.
And, you know, they hurt the work of the church. But Paul said, live at peace. So I think the congregation can pray, encourage, and support in every way they can think of.
That's good, Tom. That's yeah, good. All right, we're going to end the podcast, but I want you – I think it'd be really fitting today, since you ended your sermon actually on Sunday reading Romans 11:33-36, which you said was one of your favorite sort of passages of Scripture.
Can I tell you, it was my candidating message here when I came in 1992.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, neat. Yeah. That's really neat. This is why I love sitting down with you on the weekly, because I learn so much about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fun. So fun. But will you read this? And Calvary, we're just so grateful that you're tuning in to the weekly, so grateful that you go to calvarybible.com, find out what's happening in your neck of the woods, stay connected, get connected by always going to calvarybible.com, clicking your campus. Also download that Church Center app, lets you listen to the messages, the weekly, submit prayer requests, click the mobile bulletin, find out what is happening here at Calvary. There's so many great things this fall. But I'm going to leave today, this podcast, with Tom reading Romans 11. It's all yours, Tom.
Okay, and let me add, to those of you who are listening, thank you for your faithfulness to Calvary and your part in it. It makes a big difference for us. So now, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.